this morning's message, The Sword Upon My People. And it's coming from Ezekiel, the 21st chapter, the 1st through the 32nd verse. And they said that he had, a lot of times, you speak things to people and they say it's not clear to them. A lot of times, especially during this time, the reason that you don't hear or understand what someone is telling you, you're not listening. You have too many other things on your mind. And as really, really applicable to this day is that you're multitasking. You can sit down and watch television or do something with a person. They're not going to listen at you. They're not watching television. They may have the eyes on it, but they're playing with their gadget. Sometime at our dinners, a lot of times at our family dinners and things, the children when they come over or whatever, instead of talking to one another, they're sitting there playing with their cell phones, you know, answering text messages and doing other things. And they lose the gift, they lose what is so amply provided is the present. They lose their focus on what's actually going on around them because you really can't pay attention to everything. You're not designed that way, and God hadn't gifted you with that until you start coming under God. Then you could really multitask when you start hearing God. Ezekiel became a multitasker, and he started to understand God's word. That's why I pray for y'all to have the understanding. So he was preaching to the exiles in captivity. And what he was preaching and declaring unto them is what their parents had done, what their grandparents had done. Also, he was telling them what God had done to them because they hadn't did what God told them to do. The lesson for them to take away from that was that they wouldn't do those things. In other words, preaching is a warning. As I preach to y'all this morning, it's warning y'all, but it's dual just like this prophecy was dual. It's something that has happened, it's something that's happening, and it's something that will happen. You have to look at life that way. As you go through life, you'll understand that it's on a recycling path. It keeps going over and round about. There's nothing new in the world. It's nothing new. So God is judging, and God has always been judged. But we, his people, know that we won't stand in the day of judgment before the judge because why? We would have been already judged ourselves by the word of God. If we judge ourselves now and apply the word of God to our lives, we won't be judged. We have eternal life. So therefore, we know that the chastening that we're going through, the things that we're going through, is that God is sending all of this into our lives. So Ezekiel had told them in the 20th chapter what was happening and what was going to happen in Judah, his prized city. He says, starting at the 44th verse, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thine face toward the south, and drop thine word toward the south, and prophesy against the forests of the land. And say to the forests of the south, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, O Lord God, they say of me, Do he not speak in parables and allegories?" In other words, these were dark sayings. A parable really clouds the matter. It's said in a way that you wouldn't understand what has been said or what is being said. It's said in a riddle of allegory, and there's meaning to it. But you would have to have the key symbol to unlock that parable or that allegory. And that's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is written to a spiritual man. Fleshly people cannot understand the Bible. That's why you can't hear without a preacher. And he can't preach without being sent. But as in those days, just like it is in this day and in the days to come, there are preachers that are not sent by God. God tells you, I hadn't sent them. And they with messages that's not from God. And these messages that are not from God will get you killed. Just as dead in religion. I mean religious messages. Preaching another Jesus. These people in Judah was about to be destroyed, but that was after the reformation of Josiah. God had already told Josiah he wasn't going to save those people, that he was going to destroy. Even though they had religion, even though they thought they were worshiping the true God, even though they were going to the temple of the true God, oh, God's not going to destroy his church. He's not going to destroy his temple. Their focus was on the material. Their focus was right there. See, that's the confusion of languages, like started at Babel. That was a confusion of languages. And unless you have an understanding of the language that's being spoken, you will be lost. You need to get in to hear God's word and to be able to have spiritual ears. Listen, the disciples had that same confusion, and they walked with Jesus. They were right there during the time of Jesus. Jesus was departing from the temple area. He had been in Jerusalem preaching, Matthew, the 24th chapter, first through the second verse. And he was leaving the temple area and was going on his way when his disciples came up to him and called his attention to the buildings of the temple and to point them out how beautiful this temple was. This temple in Jerusalem, Herod's temple, they had rebuilt it. Herod had made it one of the centerpieces of that area. This was the temple of the God, of the Lord, and they said it wouldn't be destroyed. That was just like Jerusalem was the temple of Solomon that the preachers and the people were saying God wouldn't destroy it. It's just like in this day and time when people in this nation and throughout the world say, well, this is God's church. God wouldn't do anything to his church. But God says he's going to send the sword upon the church. That in the last days, judgments will begin at the house of God. That's where you find some of the worst problems is in the church. That's where you find some of the things that's more anti-God and hypocritical than anywhere else in the world. That's why you have to be in tune with God, because there's a lot of men that are not in tune with God. Listen at what Jesus told those disciples, because they wasn't focused on what was going on. They looked up to the Pharisees, the ones that he had said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisee, because their doctrine contains leaven. What they're preaching and teaching. But he answered them, verse 2, do you see all these? Truly I tell you, there will not be left one stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down. That temple, they will go tear that temple completely down and tear each block, each brick. If I would tell you each block, each 12 by 18 inch block of this building, that not one block would be upon another block, you would say, what will we do to bring about such a home? That's what's happening in our homes. That's what's happening in our community. That's what's happening in the state. That's what's happening in the nations. God is sending a sword upon the nations. He's sending this upon the world. And Ezekiel was prophesying to them that this was happening back at home, and that you better beware of this and start working in God's word, lest it come upon you. You see, because they was in a place of safety at that time. But after God had did his work in Jerusalem, he was going to turn around and do the same thing in Babylon. He was going to judge Babylon. So you might be in a position of comfort right now. You might not have this going on in your home or in your city, your community, and your state. But it's coming. It's coming to a theater near you. It's coming to you. Jesus told you, beware, this thing is coming. The sword is coming. When they saw, well, this is the Messiah, he said to them, think not that I come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. I come to set you at variance. In other words, these people that I'm preaching to, I'm expecting y'all to get your house in order. To get your houses in order, and those that are in your house that don't get in order, the swords will come upon them. Because the swords will come upon you. And that's a judgment sword to get you in order and to get all those in order around you. And is that sword to drive you or draw you? So what happened was the destruction was coming up on them because they had been preached to. They had been warned consistently. Their forefathers and everyone had been preached to. You know, after you warn a person enough, it's going to be idle threats if you don't carry out that warning. If you always telling your children, if you do that on whipping, don't do that more, sooner or later you have to go down and do that whipping, else they will keep doing it because it's an idle threat. You have to reinforce that chastisement with corporal punishment. Well, God was about to reinforce His prophets and His preachers' words with corporal punishment. He was about to send His sword upon His people. He's sending His sword upon us right now. And those of us that don't understand God don't see the sword coming upon the land. A lot of us don't even see it coming in our own home. And it's going on right now. It's going on throughout. God, the Spirit, do it yet work. Through the plainness of that preaching, the warning. Look at Ezekiel, the 21st chapter. And the word of the Lord came into me, said, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem and direct your prophetic word against the holy places. Prophesy against the land of Israel and say to the land of Israel, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I'm against you. You're in a bad position this morning if God's against you. Can I tell you that? You don't want God to be against you. He says, I will draw you... I'm against you and will draw out my sword out of its sheath and will cut off from you both the righteous and the wicked. Because I will cut off from you both the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go out of its sheath against all flesh from the south to the north. And all living shall know and understand and realize that I am the Lord, have drawn my sword out of its sheath, and it shall not return. In other words, He's not fit to put it up. When judgment begins this time, He's not going to stop judgment. Judgment's going to have a complete work. Until He complete what He's going to do. Until He completed what He did in Judah and completely made it desolate, He didn't stop that work. Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus says the Lord, say a sword is sharpened and also polished. We need to be sharpening our sword. He had sharpened that sword. And that's why Ezekiel, early in the earlier chapters, I told you that he had to eat the word, eat the roll, eat the whole roll. In other words, the scroll, the word of God. We should be studying the word of God. That's why a lot of times, actually what you're doing on Sabbath, you should be studying more that day. That's a day that's really separated and sanctifies you to God. Consistently read and study and pray to God all of that day. Because that's the day that you meet God, actually, a day of rest, the day of between you and God. That's more than any other day because through the week, those other 6 days, you may have to work or you're encumbered with a lot of things. But you have to give God that one day in Sabbath. You have to do that time. That's your strengthening. That's the time to sharpen it up. The sword, by exercise of use, you get better at it. Some people don't understand Scripture. That's because they don't know where to go to find anything in the Bible. And they're mighty confused if the devil would come in quoting Scriptures to them because, I didn't know that was in the Bible. And then they start believing that because they hadn't heard it before and they hadn't used it. Listen at this Hebrews, the 5th chapter, the Hebrews, the 10th verse. It says, call of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. You're lacking understanding. The reason you can't hear or understand this language I'm speaking is, he says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, you hadn't been studying the Word of God. Now you worse than some of those in the world. Instead of you out being a royal priesthood, instead of out teaching others, instead of out wielding your sword. You remember the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. We need to know how to handle that Word. We need to be carrying that Word out into the world, because He had commissioned us. He says, go ye into all the world and preaching the gospel and teaching all nations. So we're to be busy working for the Lord. But if we don't understand God, if we don't know His Word, how can we be fruitful and do the work that He's commissioned us to do? He's given us a charge to go out and be fruitful. He says, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. In other words, actually go out and do some work. Show me that this Word is having an effect and changing your life. For faith without works is a dead faith. So I said, take up your sword, but I'm not talking about a literal sword. The sword in that is figurative. In other words, you take up the Word of God. You take up the Word of God as Ezekiel did and study the Word to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Rightly dividing the Word of God. Now, you have to be able to wield that sword. He says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. As I explained that scripture the other day, when I asked, had y'all heard that about Mary being pierced by the sword? Remember, when you out there fighting, you will suffer cuts. You will suffer nicks and bruises. That sword wields two ways. That's a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. You can't be out there hurting people's feelings and using the Word of God, and then somebody use the Word of God on you, and then you crying and your feelings hurting. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to even talk about God no more, because you wasn't able to take what somebody else was preaching to you. If you can't be preached to, don't preach to other people. See, a lot of us like to dish it out, but we don't like to take it in. We want to talk about other people's children, but let somebody talk about our children, the hair raised up on our back. It cuts both ways now. Don't be hypocritical. Ye that judge others, do you do the same thing? Are you understanding this? So Mary was going to be pierced by the sword. It was to cut her to the heart to see her child out there preaching and teaching the people and people trying to kill him. And that some of the things that he said, woman, what has this to do with us? You see, because when you follow after Christ, you have to deny yourself and deny others. He comes first then. Seeking the kingdom of God, you have to take up that cross and deny yourself and follow after Christ. It's going to cause something to follow God. When they said, your mother and brothers and sisters out here, he says, who's my mother, brothers and sisters? Those that do the will of my Father. In other words, you will have to start standing up for what's right and speaking those things which become sound doctrine. In other words, speaking the Word of God. That's your sword that you should be wielding, is the Word of God. It cuts all kinds of ways. It cuts to the bone, to the marrow, dividing asunder a spirit and soul. It'll take the life out of you. I remember that he said he was talking to this woman about being married and divorced and everything, and she got all upset. Would you thought she was to love you and hug you because you thought she was telling her that she was in sin? They wanted to kill Jesus when he told them the truth. He said, I told you the truth and you go about to kill me. The truth hurts, especially when you love darkness. You think somebody want to hear that you shouldn't be getting drunk with alcohol and they got a beer in their hand? You think somebody want to hear that you say, thou shalt not commit adultery, and he over at the motel room? Oh, no. The truth has its setbacks now. The truth has that. That's why you need something supernatural to be able to help you to wield this sword. He says, but strong meat belonging to them that are full age. That's why he says, be thou perfect. Be complete. Be mature. He says, even those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, it's time that you speak the truth and it's time that you don't speak the truth. That's why he told them that to sell what you have and buy your sword. See, because it's some dangerous times out there. Christ's not always there with you where you can see him or ward. No, it's a testing time. As when Moses came to the Red Sea and got ready to cross the Red Sea, he started praying to God, and God said, well, why are you crying to me, Moses? Get on across the Red Sea. Well, see, the problem was Moses' faith at that time. The people were pressing and asking him for answers. He's seen Pharaoh coming. He's seen the Red Sea there. He's seen nothing but problems, but no solution. But the solution was in his hand. God had gave him the rod. He said, stretch that rod out and go across that sea. You know, a lot of times we're praying and doing other things, and we should be busy doing what God told us to do. You know what? You just don't want to do what God told you to do. You have to have faith and step out on that faith. It wasn't but one that stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. And when he got out there, instead of keeping focused on Jesus Christ, he took his eyes off of me and began to sink. When all Moses had to do was step out on faith, the Red Sea started to part. When you start speaking to the mountain will move over. We have to speak the word of God. But we can't speak the word of God and receive those things that we ask for if we don't believe in our heart that we'll receive it. See, because you're doubting and unstable in all your ways. But if you believe that you have the things that you ask of him, and you ask with faith, you'll be just like Elijah that prayed for rain and it rained. He's just like us, a man with like passion, and he prayed fervently that it shall not rain, and it didn't rain. So you have to see those things coming into your life. That's why when calamity and things coming on around you, you have to be able to see God at that time. He says, verse 10 of Elijah, Ezekiel 21st chapter, the sword of Babylon is sharpened that it may make a slaughter, polished that it may flash and glitter like lightning. Shall then we rejoice and make mirth with such a calamity impending? But the rod of my scepter of Judah rejects and views with contempt every tree. Since that promise of Judah is certain, he believes Judah's scepter must remain no matter what power arises against it. And the sword of Babylon is given to be polished that it may be put to use. The sword is sharpened and polished to be given to the hand of the slayer. For this sword have been tested and proved, and what if the rejected and despising rod scepter of Judah shall be no more but completely swept away, says the Lord. I have set the threatening and glittering sword against all the gates, that their hearts may melt and stumbling be multiplied. Ah, it is laughter like flashing. It is pointed and sharpening for slaughter. Turn, O sword, cut right, cut left, whichever way your lust for blood and your edge direct you. In his right hand is a... Therefore says the Lord God, because you have made your guilt and iniquity to be remembered, in that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your doing sins appears, because I say you have come to remembrance, you shall be taken by the enemy's hands. He was talking here of what Judah had did against against Babylon. Their king Zedekiah had made a covenant with Babylon. But he was double dealing with Ammon. He was going to Ammon for protection, and he was dealing against the king of Babylon. Even though you swear to your enemies in the name of God, he had swore to Babylon in the name of God. God honored that. that oath, that covenant. If you make an allegiance with a bill collector and you say you're going to pay that debt, you need to pay that debt. That's why it says, owe no man for anything. If you've done something in the world or made an agreement in the world, fulfill those agreements. Don't make a vow and don't keep your vow. They were double dealing and they were treacherous people. If you have relatives that are not right, your children are not right, you have to tell them to get right, because either they fall under your sword of discipline. See, God's sword, He's wielding a sword. But as I said, that sword that we wield is a sword of judgment. If you come in line with the word, it's going to hurt, but it's of chastening and discipline. It helps you in your latter life. You have to face the consequences. But it's better than the enemy's sword that's wielded by God. See, God has all power, so He's wielding both swords. One sword makes you a child of God. It corrects you, it reproves you, and it strengthens you in the Lord, because it cuts away everything in you that's not like the Lord. But when He wields His enemy using the sword, in other words, Babylon was His instrument, was the sword in His hand. So that sword was going to destroy His enemy. It was going to find out everything that's did in the dark. So both swords do accomplish different purposes. They work alike. So to those that's not of God, it works unto death and the wages of sin. But those that are of God, God's children, it works to build and restore character. The calamity that came upon Job, even though it was through the enemy, Satan, it worked the purpose of strengthening the character of Job in God. It strengthens Job's understanding of God. So no matter what calamities and things are coming up on you, if you see those things as coming for God, from God, you'll know that the promises of God says that He's not going to put anything upon you that you can't bear. So if you view your sickness as coming from God, you'll know that there's restoration and healing, because He says, by His stripes were you healed. Then you'll see healing coming on the wings of the wind. You'll have faith that you'll be healed. You'll have faith that whatever condition you're in, that you're able to bear it, because His word says He's not going to put anything upon you that you're not able to bear. That's going to give you that tenacity to go through and to get up and do greater things for God, because God's people know that you may fall, but you're not out, that God's able to get you up and cause you to soar with eagles. That He'll give you that strength. But it's also that sword works for the destruction of the enemy. So we see a lot of people falling out of the race around us. We don't rejoice in that. We don't rejoice in the peril and the destruction of anyone. We don't rejoice when churches fall. We don't rejoice when things happen to our brethren. But we use it as an example that we know the judgment of God was going to come upon those that wasn't true to God. That should work to strengthen you to see the judgment falls upon a hypocritical person, a hypocritical nation. So as this was falling upon Judah, it was hurting Ezekiel. You'll see where he says, smite the thigh. It was anguish to him because they were being destroyed. Verse 6 says, sigh therefore, son of man, with the breaking of thine loins, and with bitterness, sigh before their eyes. In other words, right now, it's hurting me to what this nation is going through. It's really hurting to see the nation going through it. It hurts me even more to see what my state is going through. What hurts me worse is how corrupt my city is. The corruption in high places. But what hurts me the worst almost is to see the sword coming up on my sons and daughters. to see this happening in my family because I can see Jesus is there. He didn't come to bring peace. He come to bring that sword. It's causing divisions that's causing me to mourn inside. See, but the silver lining in that cloud is that I know my Redeemer liveth, and that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. So I have nothing in this world. My wife is committed unto God. My children is committed unto God. All I have is committed unto God. So when those things are destroyed, you can say, as Job said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. So the destruction of all his sons and daughters, and probably the loss of that wife, it didn't destroy Job. He said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. And we'll read that where he's going to take Ezekiel's wife away. You see, you can't be wrapped up in the things of the world. God given them to you for a time. So their focus was upon Jerusalem here. Upon the temple. God told Peter, he says, not a stone shall be left upon a stone. So that temple, he sent the sword of Titus Vespasian in 70 AD, and they annihilated that sanctuary. Not a stone was left upon a stone. But the preaching that they had received from Jesus was, continue reading in the book of Matthew, there, the 24th chapter, when he told them what was about to befall them. He went on the Mount of Olives, and he sat down on the Mount of Olives. And the disciples came to him privately and said, look, Lord, it's just like, you remember in Ezekiel, when Ezekiel said he was speaking in parables and allegories, and they didn't understand him. And he came back in the 21st chapter and explained to them that this was going to be the destruction of Judah. Well, Peter's asking him, say, Lord, tell us, when will this take place about the destruction of this temple? And what will it be the sign of your coming and the completion of the consummation of this age? It's just like right now. It's about to happen at this age. And a lot of people are not asking, what are you talking about, preacher? Tell me what's going on, because you see, his mind was focused upon how pretty the temple was. It's a lot of people focused upon how large a church they have, how much going on in the world. They focus upon their computer and their gadgets. They focus upon their children and things. But their eyes are not upon God. The sword is coming. It's upon the people, and you're not focused upon him that's wielding the sword. Keep your eyes on Christ. So, Jesus answered and says, be careful that no man, no one misleads you. In other words, deceiving you and leading you or teaching you error. For many will come in my name. In other words, they'll have blessings upon them. They'll come in the strength of my name, appropriating what belongs to me, and they will lead many astray. You will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened or troubled, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Remember, I told you the sword means calamity. It means trouble. And he told David, the sword shall never depart from your house, David. Have any of y'all did anything in your life that God may have sent the sword upon your life? You see, that's what I'm thinking, that I've done things against God, and I confess, Lord, I've done wrong. But the sword is still up on my house. You see, even though David repented, the sword never left his house. He still had problems with his children. You still will have problems with your children. You will have problems with your neighbor. It's going to be calamities around you. But God will give you the strength to deal with them. He said, see that you be not troubled. He's going to give you the strength to deal with these problems. He's going to give you the strength to deal with this wayward son, with this wayward daughter. He's going to give you the strength, he says, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in places and places after that. That's why I said last week, were anybody really hurt in thinking about those poor people in Nepal? I think it's over 18 or 15,000 now found dead. Anybody thinking and mourning and sighing because of that? How about this calamity going on in Baltimore? When he says nation, nation means ethnics. In other words, race against race. You have the prosecution of innocent people, guilty people or whatever, but not being carried out in the ways of the justice of God. So we are in the midst a lot of that. It's disintegrating. And it's tearing up from the inside, just like Rome fell. Rome fell from the inside. The church is crumbling from the inside. And that's what Revelation says, I'll come and fight against the church with the sword of my mouth, with the word of God. He was going to fight against the church because the church needed to turn and repent. Those churches, he said, I'm going to come and fight against the church. You see, because there's complacency in the church. It's people in the church that don't realize it's time to get right and go home with God. You're failing to get right. That sword is being wielded, but you're not having it sharpened in your life to cut out that which you don't belong there. You're not examining yourself. That you're laying there as a Laodicea. That's in Revelation 3:17. The Laodicean church. That church had lost its focus on God also. They thought that they were rich and prosperous. It says, for you say, I'm rich, I have prospered and grown wealthy. I have need of nothing. And he says, you do not realize and understand that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. You have a house, four or five bedrooms, three or four bathrooms. Two or three cars. You have a job making good money and eating out. But you don't have a home. You don't have somewhere that you lay your head trouble free and rest free. Because you worried about all this may go down the tubes. That I got to get up and make it and make it and make it. You have all that, but you don't have the love of your family. Because you get up and you take your children out before daybreak and put them in a nursery somewhere that somebody else is raising your kids. That you're not cooking meals for your family. That you're not cleaning up the home that God had blessed you with. So you just pass them through. You're so wrapped up in the world, you can't enjoy the present. Those things that you're laboring for. You're laboring for the world. You're not enjoying God. All those things shall be destroyed. He's going to come up against those things just like he told Peter that temple would be because your heart's on those things. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Your treasure's not in God. You're not seeking the kingdom of God. He says, seek ye the kingdom of God and these things will be added to you. If you had sought the kingdom of God, it would be like when Job. When it came up on Job, Job said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. I was telling a person the other day that had lost their sister. I said, well, thank God that he had given you that sister for those 10 or 15 years to enjoy her. It was God's prerogative to take her then. That's what God did. You thank God for that time. Don't curse God. That's what happened. Satan was trying to get Job to curse God because of what was happening to it. He says, I tell you what, if that didn't make him curse you, I tell you what, you affect his health. Let me touch his health and see won't he curse you. Job was put in all kinds of afflictions, but he never cursed God. See, whatever God's given you, whatever you rejoice in the good and the bad also, the sword's going to come into your life. It's going to wreak havoc. Your focus has to be upon God. The swords will come upon his people. He promised. Any time the master says, I have not come to bring peace, I've come to bring the sword. You better hope it applies to your life. I used to stay out in Mayfair, and all of the little children around me, they was coming for me to do something to them. And I wouldn't do nothing to them. And they were very hurt by that. Are you hurt because God's not doing something for you, but you're hurt? Are you, somebody else's dad is doing something for them? I would take my children sometime, and I would tie them up. You know, we'd play cowboys and Indians, or whatever. I'd tie them to the tree or do this for them. And they say, Mr. Emerson, tie me up or do this to me or whatever. You know why I couldn't do that to them? They wasn't my children. They were the neighbor's children. God only chastens and plays and colors with his children. See, because I don't know what the reactions will be. God doesn't whip Satan's children. God whips his own children. If chastening is coming up on you, God's bringing the chastening. You have to see that it's coming from your father, a loving father. They would come in the yard and they'd say, oh, y'all got a big dirt pile. Let us play on your dirt pile. I don't know, because if you get hurt, what your parents will say or whatever. You see, whatever your father has for you, God has a lot for you. You need to play in your own backyard. You need to do the things that your father say do and follow his rules, because he has so much for you. But if you're not chastened by God, then are you bastards, he says. You wonder where your father is if he's not bringing discipline into your lives. You see, the reason I can do that with my children is because I can turn around and discipline, and they know that's a disciplined hand coming from the Father. Whenever I got home at 5 o'clock, if they had did something and my wife had told me about it, they know they was going to get chastened. Because it was from a loving Father to correct them on something that was going to be mighty important in their life later on. But see, if I was doing that to the neighbor's child, I was a stranger chastening them. They didn't know where it would be coming from. We used to can do that in older days because the community cared. But nowadays, you got parents, crazy parents, who they want to fight the teachers. They don't have corporal punishment in schools anymore, because you can't even tell a child anything without the parent wanting to come after you. We have a problem, like I said. The sword's coming up on the land. That's why so much killing and things going on in the schools now, because everybody is individualized. See, but if we accept the sword from God, accept that punishment and chastening as coming from God, we won't reach out and rebel to where the punishment destroys us. The sharpening of the sword should make us better. The word of God should make each and everybody, one of us in here, better. We should be better people because of the Word of God. How many of y'all think y'all better since you've been studying the Word of God, since you've been following God? Can you see where your life was really out of bounds and God showed you and cut away that which shouldn't have been, and you're a much better person for it? But see, if you'd have rejected the sword, if you'd have rejected what God was saying, then God would have had to take you out, because you're none of His, because those that do the will of the Father are my disciples. See, he has sent the preachers and teachers to tell you what thus saith the Lord. So I don't discipline somebody else. I can only tell them that I love you, and I'm telling you what my God said. He could adopt you into his family. One of the little boys in the neighborhood, he was like adopted into my family. I come home, I say, well, I don't have to bring this here because I know Fat's there. He will stay tonight. He's always going to be there, because he was like he was one of mine. See, if you get close enough to the Father, the goodness of God rubs off there. And it causes you to be in line. I seen him the other day one day, and he was talking to me. You see, it's something about the sword of God that you love the sword. That you love it, the chastening from the Lord, because you know it's not unto death. You know that the Lord, he afflicts us, but he won't harm us. So, the conclusion to this matter is that as those disciples was listening at Christ, when that calamity came up on Jerusalem, those that hadn't listened stood there and fight. Just like what happened in Judah. Those religious people that didn't understand the Word of God, that were being preached to by the false prophets, they fought the Babylonians as they came in. Zedekiah, the crown was taken from him, his eyes was put out, and his children killed before his eyes.
Because he didn't understand God. He didn't understand the Word of God. Even though he was in the church. Even though he was serving God. All these things happened to him because he knew not God. Are you sitting in the church today and know not God? See, a lot of people sit in the church and go out and say the church said this. Say, no, you didn't understand it because you're not applying yourself to the Word of God. So Jesus' people know to take flight. He says, pray that this does not happen on the Sabbath day. That that the Romans didn't come in the wintertime. That all these things, let me read it to you. Before he started, verse 14. And this good news of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then will the end come. So when you see the appalling sacrilege spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the rooftop not come down and go into the house to take anything. Let him who is in the field not turn back to get his overcoat. And alas for the women who are pregnant, for those who have nursing babies in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in the winter on a Sabbath. For then will there be great tribulation, affliction, distress, and oppression, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, not ever will be again. If those days had not been shortened, no human being would endure and survive. But for the sake of God's elect, the chosen one, those days will be shortened. If anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and they will show great signs and wonders as to deceive and to lead astray if possible, even the elect. See, I have warned you beforehand. So now I'm warning you as he warned those. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not shed its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. So as we wind that down, as it happens in our nation, you will see city after city declaring bankruptcy, that there's going to be a lot of joblessness in this nation. Just like the Arab Springs and the other nations, we will see gatherings as in Ferguson, as in Baltimore, and it's going to get worse. Things is about really to get worse. But as I was explaining to my son the other day, you don't need to be a part of that, son. You have to get into the church and understand what's going on. Because this fight is not physical. Even though these people are religious and saying they're religious, even though these governors and people that are running for president and all this talking about getting God back into this and following the commandments and the things of God, the majority of those are antichrists. The worst wickedness comes from down here in the South. The Bible Belt is some of the places of the worst religious hypocrisy it is. But the thing that has to happen is each and every one of us has to find Christ. We have to find Jesus because he's in the midst of bringing the sword upon the churches. And that's the churches of this nation because there's so many false leaders. There's so many false things. When he says the stars will be darkened and fall and the foundations shaken, he's going to shake the foundations of this nation. And if those foundations be shaken, what happens? Well, the so-called Christians have armed themselves. They've been going around having gun shows, and you see all these militias and everything. They arm themselves to the hilt with real armory. But they're taking of the wrong sword. So it may be a lot of Christians given into the hand of those of darkness. But we need to know God and that the fight is not against flesh and blood. That it's against spiritual wickedness. So with all this armor and all of the militias in get involved, we have to be back because those that live by the sword shall die by the sword. Christ taught when reviled, revile not again. We're not to take up physical arms.
Christ didn't teach any of them that. You will see Paul consistently fleeing, Peter giving his head to the crucifiers. You see Paul giving his head to the chopping block. You see all his disciples marred a harsh death. But you see none of them killing, because they wouldn't violate the commandment, thou shalt not kill. I had to turn a couple of preachers off the other day that was saying that he was arming his wife and his children to kill to protect themselves. If your confidence and strength in surviving is in weapons, you have a mighty poor defense. Your confidence and strength has to be in Christ. It has to be in His protection. And that's the sword that we should wield, the Word of God. Be aware, because it's going to befall this nation. I was watching a movie one time about Barabbas. It was an old one. This one had, I forgot who played Barabbas in that one. Is it Robert Mitchum, I think it was? And that they had spared Barabbas and killed Jesus. And he was living this long time. He was trying to understand the Christians. And the Christians was trying to preach to him. But see, he was the enemy. Barabbas didn't understand God, and he didn't understand Christianity. He thought the Christians was running Rome, and he met his ultimate death by taking up a torch trying to burn Rome, and Nero's soldiers caught him doing that. Don't get caught trying to burn Rome. God tells us to be subject to authorities and powers. Don't rebel against the powers of this land in a physical way. That's spiritual rebellion, not physical rebellion. Obey those who have authority over you that God has put in the rule of this land. Speak evil of no man. That's a fight that we will have to learn. Like I say, it's a possibility that this state may elect an adulterous governor. But this is a Bible-believing state, they say, that wants to make the Bible the Word of God. I mean, the book to go to. But the worst thing that you could have is a hypocritical preacher that's in charge. The worst thing that you can have is Satan in the pulpit. And that's what happened. The church has apostatized. It has left an upstanding in Christ. This is a wicked thing that's coming up on the land. But God's sending His sword. If you would learn of Christ, you would see Him working in each and every one of our lives. You would see Him working in the nation. But we have to learn that the sword has a sharp point, he says. It's burnished. It's only going to cut that which he wants it to cut. It's a sharp sword. It's the divide. It's going to cut out the wicked. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. But he considerately told his disciples, it shall not come nigh thee. It shall not come nigh thine dwelling. Think about Christ and all the calamity that's going around you. And that you're safe because it's your Father wielding the sword. It's your Father wielding that sword. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and in your way, Lord God, and in walking in you and doing those things that are pleasing unto you.